Joining us now in our studios is Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martink. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in today. We've got some sunshine for you.
I mean,
do you like that? We ordered that specially
awesome.
For you.
Yeah, thank you. I feel so honored.
It's been so gloomy lately, so I thought we could start off with a little bit of sunshine before we get down to business.
Did you order daffodils, too? Because I'm like looking, and it's looking still a little brown here, Jeff. I think you're just like a little lax on your game here.
Maybe in your mid-May arrival here at KYMN Radio, we'll have some daffodils.
There you go.
You had a council meeting last night. There are some things to talk about. We have, on the, I've complained a lot about trains and noise. Trains, I don't know if you've caught that with me about that. Have you ever noticed that? But Northfield has been taking some steps through the years to gradually make this a no horn sounding zone. But and last night, kind of moving sort of in that direction, you discussed the 2nd Street Railroad crossing, some signal improvements and some modifications to Spring Street if you do put the big yard arms down there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that I would say is that the council and city staff really have been looking at how we can make our city or the multiple intersections that we have running through our city with between the streets and the railroad crossings, right? We have so many within our small city, I would say, and to see if there's a way that we can turn our area, the city, into a quiet zone. And I know from Mr. Bennett's presentation last night, he was saying that we needed to have, I think, what is it, 5 consecutive railroad crossings where there were... We adjusted the crossing area so that we can achieve that quiet zone designation, which would eliminate the blowing of the horns I don't know how many times a day is that, Jeff? I think you probably know it more personally than I do.
I think about between 30 and 35.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's a lot.
It's a lot of trains going through day and night. Yeah.
And not the best idea for if you want to sleep, right? Or you're having a family outing. I mean, everything comes, all conversation comes to a halt when a train goes by and is blowing its whistle, which is for safety purposes. But last night, I think there was some additional conversation around Spring Street and what to do with that particular section of road that runs in between really St. Dominic's School and runs over to where the depot is located. So between 2nd and, is that right? Between 2nd and St. Olaf Avenue, there's a small road in there that really does not connect. It's not on our typical grid pattern, and to see if there's some different ways that we could design that road so that we can ensure that we get that quiet zone designation or just alter it. So
would there, I know that crossing, I go over the 2nd Street crossing, you know, several times every day, usually. That road just goes right into the railroad tracks pretty much. Is there I would think you pretty much have to change it to put in the crossing arms. The modifications, what have they studied? Maybe just rerouting that a little bit so it's more of an angle or just closing it off?
Yeah, so last evening there was 3 options that were presented to the city council. And again, as you said, Jeff, at that intersection on 2nd and Spring, one of the things with the designation is you need to do additional controls at the crossing. So in addition to the arms, sometimes there are things like the medium barriers, like we did on 3rd Street, to discourage the ability of vehicles to be able to kind of go around those or just do a U-turn to try and turn around and get out of there just for safety purposes. And because of the proximity there, it doesn't allow enough spacing. So that's why there are some options. So one option that was discussed was to convert Spring Street to a one-way. Might allow the ability for shifting of kind of the road a little bit as to how the vehicles would get in there. Second option would be to dead end Spring Street north of 2nd Street. There are some homes in there that we'd still need to be able to provide access for. So that was an option. And then another option that was discussed was realigning the street that would allow it to be pulled back further west on 2nd Street. However, that would require acquisition of all or some of 304 Second Street, a property right there on the corner, would be required for that one. So that'd be quite a bit of impact, I guess, with that third option as well.
Mm-hmm. When will a decision be made on that? Is that and when will the construction? Is that on the schedule yet, or are in the long-range planning?
So potentially, I think I heard Mr. Bennett talk about that last night. As I do not know. I was going to say 2023, but I'm not sure that that's actually right. I don't know if Mr. Martek has that.
Yeah, I think the next steps, the general consensus of the council was is the first option to convert to Spring Street to a one-way was kind of a phased approach and then evaluating the other alternatives. So as the next phase going into the design, moving into more detailed design that would come back to the city council is kind of the next step in the process. So I think the city engineer wanted to get feedback while that was being developed to so that, that there was some direction first from the city council. But I believe it's a 2023 construction project.
You also, one of the other items on the agenda last night was reviewing and discussing land development code provisions related to the Heritage Preservation Commission. That sounds kind of vague. What was that about?
I think it's really through the process, gosh, and Mr. Martek maybe can help me out with this too, because there's a lot of technical stuff within here. So the Heritage Preservation Commission met with the City Council at one of our previous work sessions and really was seeking, and I think our staff and the council all agreed, there needed to be some clarity on the language with regards to when, if there's an appeal, if city projects have to get a certificate of appropriateness from the HPC. The HPC really, they govern the exterior of buildings within our historic district. So it's not citywide. They are very specific in terms of their authority, and it's only for the exterior of the buildings. It's not the interior of the mm-hmm. buildings. And so oftentimes, anytime any updates, windows, exterior painting, surface area of a building, they often need to go before the HPC to receive approval. And that's that, we call it for short, COA.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an effort to receive some clarity on whether or not the city needs to get a COA for projects within the historic district. And I think it unilaterally, people agreed, the council agreed, planning commission agreed, HPC agreed, yes, cities, any city building should be receiving a COA. And I think there were some additional agreement on whether or not there should be some exemptions. I think for both public and private buildings or properties, and there's agreement on that. There was then just that additional question. There were three really points last night that we were getting some clarity from the council on, and was who the appeal should be. And it's my understanding that there haven't been a lot of appeals of the HPC decisions over the years, but right now that appeal is set to go to our Zoning Board of Appeals, which is also our Planning Commission. And the council gave direction last night that they really want all of those appeals for both public and private to come back to the council as that elected body and has the greatest sense of response to the community, that connection, it's more open, it's more transparent, to come back to the council to get an appeal, if either for both public or private. So
now I would I'm presuming that all of this is kind of geared towards what's happening downtown. Pardon me, with the Fifth and Water reconstruction, the buildings down there, tearing down some buildings, building some new ones. Then also Bridge Square. Have the lines really been drawn now on what you have to do? Are we all clear on how to proceed with that?
I think the change in the clarity on the would be done through an ordinance amendment. So this process has been leading towards that, to provide greater clarity, particularly around those public projects on that. So from here, it would staff has already started drafting some of the language. It got a little technical in the different options and complex. So we took a little step back when we brought it to the council to probably focus more on the larger kind of policy questions. But now going back to the ordinance drafting, we'll take the direction from mm-hmm. the city council be going back to the Heritage Preservation Commission to share kind of a draft. And then the amendment process will actually go through the Planning Commission. The council can initiate an ordinance amendment, but through the Land Development Code, this type of an amendment first will be kind of coming through a Planning Commission, a public hearing, that if this plays out, we're looking that hearing could happen in as early as June, and then the council would be back in July. So these things do take quite a while to get input, but I do think it was really important, and I think the council staff certainly appreciated getting the different perspectives of the Planning Commission, Heritage Preservation, and council on all of that. So although it takes a little more time, I think it's helpful to bring people along. And then also, when you get into the detail of the writing, there'll probably be more input as we go and actually put the fine pencil to paper on the ordinance language, but it's moving along, and we are kind of concurrently with Bridge Square. We are working very closely with the Heritage Preservation Commission and others related to the Bridge Square development, so that's progressing along concurrent with the ordinance amendments that are happening.
Ben Marting, City Administrator, and Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell are sitting in with us. We're talking about last night's council meeting. Branding Advisory Committee was considered it to be established. They were considering establishing such a unit. Are we rebranding something, or what's going on with that?
I would say it's a little bit of new branding. I'm not sure that Northfield has done an actual branding exercise before, but kind of just as we are doing our strategic planning and knowing they're going to need to be things done, like some increased signing, I think as we do some marketing pieces, we felt that it was probably good to start with kind of a base foundation of what is the essence of Northfield, who are we, and kind of build kind of a brand around that. Communities have done that, and effective branding requires professionals to do that. And an outcome might be a thing like a logo, but it's more than a logo. It's more kind of helping to create who you are, to help communicate that to, might be economic, to help us with economic development, might be related to placemaking in the downtown to do placemaking improvements, might be other types of things with the community to communicate to potential residents of the city about who we are and things. So this kind of kicked off a process where there would be a community advisory group that would help give input to the process. There would certainly be public engagement that comes later, but the mayor would do an appointment of some individuals with that to come back at a future meeting and hopefully kick this off as part of some of our strategic planning to be done this year.
One thing I'm curious about, I'm looking at the agenda right now, and one of the attachments was a video introduction from Izmir, Turkey. That seems like an odd thing to introduce to a Northfield City Council meeting when you're considering branding. Did they do a branding operation there?
Yeah, they did. I don't know. We're here in America, but Northfield's on the map internationally with two colleges that you know, attract international students from around the world. We have a history in Northfield that draws interest from the West as it relates to the defeat of Jesse James that probably draws interest across the world. Mm-hmm. So why not Turkey as an example?
Okay.
With the history in Turkey and
that,
what's going on there. But we looked a little bit around on the internet, and they had some unique kind of history, and it was a fairly short video that I think articulated a little bit what a brand can be. So yeah, we always don't look local for examples for ideas. We went overseas for this example.
Is that
branding.
A YouTube thing? Can I watch
it is. It's on YouTube.
All right. Yes. I'm going to have to check that out. I haven't been out there, but maybe that's my new vacation destination.
There we go.
Look at the branding on that city, huh? You also had one final thing here, and it concerns the storm structure repair project. What has been, what needs repair?
So we have been doing some storm structure repair projects. So really it was identifying some inflow, outflow. This is really technical stuff. And I think that really the council discussion around this particular one centered around a pedestrian bridge that is being recommended to be done in connection with all the other storm repair projects that were presented last night. And it's it's like behind Huron Court, and extends out. There would be a path that would extend out from Meadowview Drive, I believe is the street. So it's over between Prairie Street and Spring Creek.
Okay.
Or Hall Avenue. There you go. Is that really specific enough for you, Jeff?
Okay.
So that's really where the conversation was last night. We've been looking at stormwater and constantly looking at what things need to be improved here to make sure that the water is being taken care of during some of our major storm events. Rainfall data has been updated, and so we're making some improvements there.
All right. Good enough.
Yeah,
good enough. Wait, anything else you'd like to mention while we have you in here?
One thing we do have, maybe looking ahead just to this weekend, is Mother's Day weekend here coming up, and you can help your mom by cleaning out the house a little bit with maybe some extra junk that might be in the basement. So the city will be having cleanup days this Saturday. You can find out more information online, but we take appliances, old computers, electronics, construction debris type things, tires, whatever. We got lots of different things that we'll be taking, so encourage that. And in addition to gardening, I know that's they often say Mother's Day is kind of the kickoff to gardening season as well. So
I thought it was the fishing opener.
Oh, sorry, I'm not a fisher person. But
I think that's the following weekend this year. But 66 and sunny on Saturday. Yeah. So, yeah, you get a lot of things done. It's a good day to get things done.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in. We certainly appreciate that.
Yeah.
Enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Northfield Mayor Rhonda Powdell and City Administrator Ben Martig. You're listening to The One, 95.1 FM and AM 1080, KYMN. We've got Rich coming up next with local news. Tim, news and a side of sports on the way.
This news update is brought to you by Great Rivers Mutual Insurance Company, where you can get the coverage you need from the people you know.
At Great Rivers Mutual, you get the coverage you need from the people you know. And we will be there for you when you need us most, because at Great Rivers Mutual, we grow trust locally. With 18 agencies and over 100 agents across Minnesota, including Northfield, Kenyon, Wanamingo, Goodhue, and Lakeville areas, our agents provide friendly,